Good afternoon, folks. That time of the day again, time for the elephant in the room here on WJAS 1320 AM and Talk 99.1 FM. This is your host, Sam DeMarco, joined in studio today, as always, by my trusty executive director, John Schneider, and our producer, dazzling dandy Daryl Grandy. But we also have a couple other guests in here today, folks. I think we're having a good show today. We have the City of Pittsburgh's GOP committee, his chair, Todd McCollum, and we have his vice chair, Russell Dreyer, here. So, guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us in, Sam.
Well, listen, I appreciate you guys being able to come in today. We'll talk about a number of different things. But and first, for all of our listeners, as you join us here on Memorial Day weekend, want to talk a little bit about Memorial Day, you know, what the meaning of Memorial Day is all about. Because I think, guys, there's some confusion out there. You know, having served in the Marine Corps, I know I'll get folks that'll come up and thank me for my service Memorial Day weekend, but that's not what Memorial Day is all about. Okay. That's Veterans Day when you thank veterans for their service. You know, Memorial Day, it's important to remember that we're honoring our fallen. You know, this day isn't a happy occasion, but rather a solemn one. And, you know, it's important that while we do break with our families, you know, for picnics and swimming and all those different activities that we do, you know, when we're not working, that we teach our kids and the younger generations exactly what this means and how really it's an opportunity to take and honor the men and women, the heroic men and women who have given their lives in service to this country. I mean, Harry Truman, the 33rd United States president back in 1945, said, "Our debt to the heroic men and valiant women in the service of our country can never be repaid. They have earned our undying gratitude, and America will never forget their sacrifices." You know, and as we talk today and we sit and we look around this country and we see some of the things that are going on, particularly in the younger generation, protests on college campuses and these different things, you wonder, do folks really remember? Is that, you know, is that sentiment from President Truman, you know, to never forget their sacrifices? It's something that I hold near and dear to my heart. I know that you guys do as well, but I think more Americans need to do so. So just wanted to talk a little bit about Memorial Day there, you know, and what it means. Yeah, too many folks. I mean, we're joking around. We were joking around just a minute ago, but yeah, it's not about the new car sales, you know, you see from the auto dealers.
Or the mattress days.
Or the mattress sales or things like that. I mean, typically some folks have looked at it as a kickoff to summer, you know, and while it is all of those things, again, you know, the underlying meaning of Memorial Day, I don't want folks to lose sight of that. And I think, you know, so I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but there are a lot of folks out there that say happy Memorial Day, happy Memorial Day weekend. And I've probably been guilty of saying that in the past. The Wounded Warriors Project, it makes a suggestion that instead of saying, you know, happy Memorial Day or Memorial Day weekend, that we say something to such as, you know, have a meaningful Memorial Day or something along those lines, more so than, you know, the happy Memorial Day. So, folks, let's just think about that as we move forward and we remember the men and women who have given their lives in service of this country. I know that it is a busy weekend. Coriopolis parade is going to be on Monday. I'll be in that parade as well as a number of other folks. I know State Senator Devlin Robinson is going to be there, State Representative Valerie Gatos. I think on the Democrat side, I think State Representative Anita Kulik is going to be there. You know, I'm hearing Army veteran and U.S. Senate candidate, you know, Dave McCormick, mm-hmm, will be in attendance. So really excited, looking forward to that as, you know, the Coriopolis folks and the VFW there, you know, hold their annual parade again. Honor our fallen veterans. So, hey, you know, I've got that out of the way. I'll give everybody else a chance to talk. you know, and, you know. So, folks, I was asking before here, you know, Russell is the vice chair to Todd here in the city committee. And I asked him, you know, what the city equivalent of the Secret Service was, you know, for, you know, where he fit in. Go ahead, Russell, tell him what you were just telling
us. Sam, it is certainly an honor to be here on this sacred Memorial Day weekend for us. And we really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to come in and explain to everyone out there a little bit about, you know, what the city committee is, what we do. We are the GOP of the city of Pittsburgh. It's mm-hmm. the largest municipality, obviously, in Allegheny County. And, you know, depending on who you talk to, a lot of people say that the pathway to the White House runs through Pennsylvania. So if Allegheny County is, you know, if Allegheny County is certainly the door to Pennsylvania, the city of Pittsburgh, I think, is definitely the key to that door. So we've been doing some great things in the city. Believe it or not, there are 30,000 registered Republicans in the city of Pittsburgh. And I know that that's probably a shock to everybody out there listening. But we're growing the committee step by step, doing the little things. I'm fortunate to work with the general here, Todd McCollum. He's been absolutely fantastic, keeping us on task and making sure that we do the work of the committee. Todd always says, look, if we do the work of the committee, you know, we can sleep easy at night. Let's leave it better than we found it. So I appreciate, you know, Todd's leadership as the chairman in getting us up and running and focused on what we need to do there.
And Todd?
Well, Sam, as far as Memorial Day goes, I did not serve the country itself. Many of my family did. My father served during in the Vietnam era. He was a sailor in the Navy. You know, I have said Happy Memorial Day as well. And to me, from my perspective, I think I can say Happy Memorial Day because I am, as an American, happy that people before me laid down their lives to keep this the greatest country in the world, for sure. And for those who are left, family and friends are left behind, fallen service members, I thank them, and my arms go out and around them. Russell's very generous with his words, and Russell will tell you as well, and you know as well, Sam, that it's not just him and I. We are surrounded by a inner circle of hardworking conservative Republicans who are willing to roll their sleeves up and go out and get the job done. Some of them actually make Russell and I look lazy. They work circles around us, and my hat goes off to, you know, people like Gina Paulus and Eileen Cunningham, who are just absolutely the energizer bunny of our committee. You haven't brought it up yet. I'm sorry, I'm going to bring it up, but we were the recipients of the
thunder. You're stealing my thunder.
I'll pass it. I'll pass it back to you.
I was just going to talk about that.
Pass it back to you. I didn't know if we stood here. Oh.
Well, there's a reason why you guys are here, and that's part of it. No, listen, you're absolutely right. Eileen Cunningham and Gina Paulus are tremendous, tremendous workers. They are a true asset, you know, to the party and to the cause here. And the cause isn't a Republican, conservative. It's the cause of good government. And we just believe that electing people with actual leadership ability, you know, and a vision to enact policies that will take and work are what's required to turn this region around. And, you know, you folks were the recipient this year of the Reagan Award from the Republican Committee of Allegheny County, which is given to the committee, which we believe best epitomizes and has made the most progress, you know, from a work standpoint in changing, you know, the facts on the ground. Okay. And, you know, in Allegheny County, and I've shared this with many of our viewers, we have approximately 259,000 registered Republicans, you know, and 509,000 registered Democrats. But in the city center, the city, the county seat, city of Pittsburgh, you guys are definitely making progress, but it's an uphill battle because, as you said, while you have over 30,000 registered Republicans, there are over 150,000 registered Democrats. But I know firsthand, and I know you guys know from talking to so many people out there, that all of those people that are registered Democrats, you know, are not ideological Democrats, but they're registered Democrat because that's how they've always been registered their entire life. That's how their parents were registered, or their grandparents, or so many that work for the county or for the city registered that way. So many that are in public service, you know, or you have a lot that are in the unions, because the unions have traditionally been, you know, Democrat supporters. They're registered that way. So things are changing, and you know, you guys are making tremendous progress. You're showing visibility. People are recognizing that there was a city committee, and that's half the battle. You know, one, we got to connect with the Republicans that are in the city. The next thing we need to do is we need to find candidates that we can run for city offices, and you guys have worked very hard at doing that. And we've had folks run for magistrate or district judges. We've had folks run for county council from the city, and we really need to come up with some bona fide city council candidates, as well as Pittsburgh Public School Board candidates, okay? Because I think once we, let me take a step back. When I talked about some of the reasons people are registered Democrats, you know, and not Republicans or another party, one of the other things I heard was they said, well, if I don't register as a Democrat, I can't vote for who the mayor will be. And that's because traditionally in the past, for many years, you know, we hadn't put up, a Republican Party hadn't put up candidates for mayor. And, you know, that is, as we can see right now, what a disaster the current, the Gainey administration was. You know, I was on Marty Griffin the other Thursday talking about an incident on the South Side where a couple had a gun put in their face. So on video, they called the police, but because of the staffing issues, it took anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes before an officer appeared. And we were extremely fortunate, you know, that that trigger wasn't pulled.
Exactly.
Okay. But the fact that, and this isn't a slight or a shot at the Bureau of Pittsburgh Police Department. I think these guys are trying to do the very best they can. And you have a lot of folks that are working very hard there. But they have staffing issues. They're hundreds of officers down from where they should be. And while the mayor has tripled the size of the mayor's office, and while he has taken and added 100 new people to public works, hired 200 people, including it's going to take and cost millions of dollars for city residents, he hasn't hired a significant number of police officers. And I think they have a class with like 23 folks right on the academy. But the problem is there are like 230 that could retire today.
Right.
You know, 10 times that number. And one of the things, folks, one of the frustrating things for me is that so many people don't come out and vote. And then we get this disastrous government, and then they complain. When if they had just come out to vote, much of this could have been avoided. And, you know, I'll use this most recent election we had last year, the county executive race. You know, we had 258,000 registered Republicans, and only 112,000 came out. You know, if 9,000 more would have, Joe Rocky would be the county executive. Right?
So easily.
So the next 4 years, we're living with, you know, these results, because folks didn't show up. And, you know, I understand some people may feel like, oh, well, you know, it's not important. No, it is very important.
The local elections absolutely are important. The video that you referenced a few seconds ago is shocking to the conscience. Mm-hmm. You could see that. And it's pretty much in HD, too. Look, I'm no fan of the mayor. Anybody would know that. There are some things that I agree on the mayor with, or have agreed with him on in the past. The truth of the matter is this is a slope that we've been on for some time. The mayor, in fact, the current mayor has been handed this situation from the previous mayor and to some extent the mayor before him. That doesn't absolve the mayor, the current mayor. He's holding the bag right now. But 740 officers in total is not enough to cover this city. It isn't. When I was on the department, it was 1,000 officers. And now we're down, what, 300 or close to 300?
260
from that. Yeah, close to 300. And it's not just the police, Sam, because, you know, I talked to the other agencies as well. I've been fortunate enough to talk to people, have firsthand information. EMS is also down, approximately 30 people. 30 people out of 200, 200 and a quarter, I believe, might be the full staffing for EMS. That's a significant hit. It's perpetual overtime. That's people that are taking care of your health.
Mm-hmm.
People that are taking care of any potential gunshot victims that that would result in the crime spike. The fire department is slightly down, not as down as the police department and the medics. I think they may be close to even, from what I understand. But at one point they were down too, and that's a huge cost to the city of Pittsburgh. All that overtime. I mean, safety is expensive. It always has been.
It may be expensive, Todd, but it's also what government's core role is.
It's also necessary, right?
The core role of government is to protect the safety and security of its citizens, okay? And if you're running to be the mayor of a local municipality, and the city of Pittsburgh is a local municipality, albeit a large one, okay, your first job is public safety and public works, right? You know, and all these other things that they spend money on. You know, the millions of dollars they're flushing away, you know, in these contracts that they're just, you know, giving these no bid contracts and things that they're doing, these things to these far left community groups mm-hmm. that Mayor Ganey is shoveling money out the door to. The whole P-card program in the city needs to be examined here. I'm telling you, where there's smoke, there's fire. And city controller Rachel Heisler, she uncovered, you know, when it was brought to folks' attention that the person who committed the anti-Semitic vandalism on the North Shore was a former city employee, but was getting paid, still getting paid by the city, violating ethics rules, okay? And then they were paying him with a P card, you know? It raises a lot of questions.
For sure.
And I hear anecdotal complaints from folks who tell me that the mayor has hired a significant number of folks in the city here, but they're not all coming to work, you know, and the people have been put on the payroll and are collecting checks, but aren't bothering to show up. And that is a big concern, you know, so we're going to have to look into that. But I'm sorry, I went off in that direction, but I wanted to say, well, we were talking about the difference you guys are making in the city by showing folks that there's a city committee. It's paying off, not just in Pittsburgh, but in the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. You know, Fox News the other day, May 22nd, talked about a political realignment taking place in Pennsylvania. You know, despite recent Democrat wins, the GOP is gaining momentum, analysts say, and they point to a couple pieces of data. So an analysis that was done by media outlets, Politics PA and Spotlight PA, found Pennsylvania's running totals of Republican registrants as of mid-May had increased by nearly 11,000 since March 29th. Now, the Democrat rolls, they lost about 4,000. And nearly 20,000 Democrats have either decided to switch parties or to re-register as independent or third-party voters. So, I mean, this is a big deal, and we're seeing it taking place here. And a lot of that, I think, is due not just to the terrible job that our Democrat elected officials are doing in office today, but to the efforts of folks like yourselves and the committee that you have in the city in bringing attention to that folks definitely have an option.
Well, timing certainly is very important for any kind of success in life. And the, you know, as everyone knows, the local Democratic machinery has been hijacked by a far left wing of the Democrat Party. Our traditional moderate Democrats, you know, most of whom are our family members and our neighbors, they don't have a home right now, Sam. They do not have a home right now. They are looking at the party that they belong to, and it is unrecognizable to them. So you combine that with the fact that Todd's been able to give us a vision in the city, and we're out there knocking doors, talking to people. It turns out, you know, on most issues, if you're talking to moderate Democrats, on most issues, we line up on things eight out of 10 issues. We're right in line with our neighbors, our family members who, you know, are moderate traditional Democrats. So there's a lot more opportunity for us to grow. We do have to run more candidates, definitely. We do have to run more candidates. We had a lot of success because Sam, you found probably the greatest candidate we've had in a decade and a half in Joe Rocky.
Decades there. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't had someone as good, and I'm not saying that meaning that I did a great job. What I'm saying is Joe Rocky was the best qualified candidate to run for that office since 2004.
Sam, you did a great job. You know, I'll say it.
Folks, I'm not paying them. And that wasn't part of their responsibility. They didn't have to say that to come on this show. So for all the haters out there, you heard it here.
And Joe, you know, Joe did a great job of understanding kind of what I just talked about a little bit earlier, that most people in the city and the county, obviously, are middle of the road people. We don't need it. We don't to have good governance, to get back to your original point about having, you know, good government as opposed to maladministration, you need just common sense, middle of the road solutions. Joe was laser focused on that big group of people. That's where most people are. And we were out there with Joe knocking on doors in the city.
And out of the city.
And Joe really, really laid groundwork for us to bring us along. To reach folks in the middle that maybe we would not have been able to find before. Just the nature of his candidacy, the quintessential executive, the Pittsburgh kid, you know, from the north side who came from meager beginnings, worked his butt off, paid his own way to Duquesne University and became the vice president at PNC Bank. Now that's a great Pittsburgh story. It resonated with so many people in the city. We've talked to them. And we're just trying to keep that momentum going here in the city, Sam.
Well, I can tell you that I, for one, and I know our entire committee appreciates the work that you're doing. You know, I mean, it really is. It is a tough job. We have a tough hill to climb. But I think this year, I think the wind is at our back. And I'm looking for big things out of you guys next year and in the future here. And we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the things that you're doing, you know, and some of the things you would like to do, you know, in the second segment of the show after we end up taking our break. So we have a couple minutes before the break, but
I don't want to spend the whole show looking backwards at the Joe Rocky campaign, but because that's our measuring stick right now. That's who we worked with the most, and Joe was very appreciative of our efforts, but Joe gave us a great bridge to talk to people, because it was easy for people to, and we certainly, when we were out, had some people who weren't interested in hearing about Joe or Stephen Zappala. We had an element of people who thought Stephen Zappala somehow turned his back on the Democrat Party, which in fact was the quite opposite. But those guys gave us a great bridge to meet Democrats who we can at least extend a hand out and have them extend one back. And obviously it was the case because they voted for Joe.
Well, I think, right before the break here, I think what was important is Joe recognized that it's not the fringe on either the left or right, but it's the middle. And that's what he was focused on. And you know, the reason I feel bad is because Joe got 178,000 plus votes, but only 112,000 Republicans came out. So Joe was able to win, you know, 100 and what do we got? 166,000 you know, or excuse me, he was able to win 66,000 Democrat and independent votes. Sorry, folks, my math without a calculator. Oh, yeah, product of the city schools. What can I tell you?
AI's here to help us. AI.
There you go. But the point is, he got the votes he needed from the Democrats and the independents in order to win the race. He didn't get it from the Republican base. And you know, our role here is just to ensure that in the future that we get as many of the registered Republican voters in this county out to vote. That is the mission of this committee. And folks, we're going to talk a lot more about that after the break, but we have to take a break to pay the bills. I'll be back in a minute. This is The Elephant in the Room on WJAS, 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. Welcome back, folks, to The Elephant in the Room. We were here joined by Todd McCollum, the chair of the Pittsburgh Republican Committee, and Russell Dreyer, his vice chair. And guys, we were just talking in the last segment a little bit about the shift here in Pennsylvania, the shift toward the Republican Party, and the movement away from the Democrat Party. And, you know, I gave some figures in the first segment here, but here locally in Allegheny County, I mean, we're seeing the shift here locally. While we've had in Pittsburgh, or Allegheny County, we lost under 1,200 registered Democrats left, and only 500 Republicans changed parties. Whereas in Philadelphia, over 2,200 Philadelphia voters left the Democratic Party so far this year, while the GOP only lost about 400. So you're seeing this big movement, you know, this shift, you know, away from the Democrat Party. And for folks who don't know, I think I've covered this on the show earlier, but back in 2010, when Tom Corbett was elected governor, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Democrats had a voter registration edge in the state of almost 1,200,000 voters. It was 1,197,000. Okay. That number today is less than 389,000. You know, you're seeing almost an 800,000 vote shift, or voter registered voters shift. You know, so we are making tremendous progress. And I think it really, you know, I don't know all the answers or the reasons behind it, but it is certainly occurring. And, you know, perhaps this is, as we also see, you know, the Republicans taking on a more populist appeal, you know, representing many of the blue collar workers, the working men and women who previously felt that the Democratic Party represented them, but no longer feel that way because of things like the open borders issue, as well as some of the cultural positions that that party has.
Sam, we see that when we door knock. When we go around the city, especially when we're in working class neighborhoods. Now, these are the city is seven to one, you know, Democrat to Republican. So when we get out to working class neighborhoods, the Democrats that we meet in those working class neighborhoods, you know, they are feeling again left out of this economy. They're struggling to make ends meet. Their costs continue to go up. You know, energy costs continue to go up. Fuel costs continue to go up. Housing costs continue to go up. But wages do not continue to go up. Now on the other side of that, you know, the more affluent neighborhoods in the city, they're very progressive. So when you talk about it, when you talk about a shift, sort of the two parties have kind of flip-flopped a little bit. We're seeing that all over the city, where traditional blue-collar Democrat neighborhoods, they're now leaning very hard Republican. We talk to them all the time. We get them to re-register as Republicans. So it's not surprising to me. There's definitely a shift happening out there. And just on a personal note, we see a lot of people, a lot of Latinos, a lot of people of color coming to the Republican Party. My wife is from Venezuela. Mm-hmm. And she tells
me. And you outkicked your coverage, by the way.
That's right.
I had the opportunity to meet your wife at the Lincoln Day dinner. You certainly outkicked your coverage.
Big time. And she likes to tell people, Sam, she's from the future. Because she's seen what happens when this sort of left wing faction of, you know, Democrat mm-hmm. Party or socialists gets control. You know, they take over. They start to, you know, they start to use heavy taxes and things of this nature. They start with indoctrination in the schools, everything that we're seeing. So much, that's what my wife jokes around. She says, "Hey, I've seen this movie before. You guys better get your butts in gear." But I think if you look around the country too, Latinos, they're registering red.
Yes.
Especially with our Venezuelan population and Cuban population in Florida. You don't have to look too far in places like Texas, where we have some great Hispanic Congress people, Republican Congress people. So there's definitely that element of it too. You know, people from those parts of the world are coming to this country to get away from the same things that the Democrats are trying to give us here.
Yeah, our too many. Well, let me go back. Since I've been involved in politics, you know, and I go back, you know, 15 years, the people who most care or seem to care and are most aware of what's taking place are immigrants. People that have fled Eastern Europe, Latin America, you know, Asia, and understand what it's like someplace else. You know, and, you know, Ronald Reagan talked about, hey, we're the last best hope. You know, there's if we lose freedom here, there is nowhere else to run to, okay? And you pointed out something earlier. You talked about what folks are seeing. Polls show that over 70% of the people out there believe the country is headed in the wrong direction. Here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, 60% of us are living paycheck to paycheck. And when you look at the policies, you know, you mentioned things, inflation, okay? The average monthly inflation under former President Trump from February 2017 until he left office in January 2021 was 1.9%. The average monthly inflation under Joe Biden from the time he was sworn in and he took office, let's say from February 2021 to April of 2024, is 5.5%. It's almost three times as high. Now, this is average monthly inflation. And folks, what people need to understand is inflation next month builds on the already increased prices from this month. Okay? So it's not just, well, it's 5.5%. This continues to build and stack. And that's why if you go to get fast food today, I mean, it's outrageous. It's like almost cheaper to go to a restaurant mm-hmm. than going to get fast food at McDonald's or Burger King or someplace else. And when you look at prices, you go to the grocery store, prices increased 7.8% under former President Trump over 48 months. Under Joe Biden, in just 39 months, prices are up 19.3%, almost three times as much. When you look at real wages, you know, wages have gone down under Joe Biden where they had gone up under Trump. And you talked about fuel. In January 2021, the average national price for a gallon of regular gasoline, unleaded gasoline, was $2.42 a gallon. In April 2024, under Joe Biden, it's $3.73 a gallon. It's up 54%. And last but not least, and I know you guys are well aware of this because we hear it all the time from the left, they talk about the need for affordable housing. Okay. You know, and listen, there's certainly a need for affordable housing, but housing is fast becoming unaffordable for the middle class because mortgage rates. When Donald Trump took office in January 19th, 2017, mortgage rates were 4.1%. When he left on January 21st, 2021, they were 2.8%. So mortgage rates went down 32% under former President Trump, making housing more affordable to most folks. Now, folks, get ready for this sticker shock, okay? Again, when Joe Biden took office January 21st, 2021, mortgage rates were 2.8%. But on May 9th of this year, they were 7.1%, an increase of 156%. So every American out there is being squeezed at by the grocery store, at the gas station, trying to get housing. You know, it's not getting, and their wages aren't keeping up. It's not getting better. So this is providing a strong tailwind, giving us the wind at our backs, you know. So you would think that things should be looking very well for Republicans. And I believe polls are showing that. But to your point, when you talked about what your wife said, you know, but this is the future and why folks are voting that way. And the left, what they do is they loot the public treasury to promise folks things and basically buy their votes. So it's the handouts.
Sure.
They don't have good policies. If you think about it, I invite any of our listeners to take and share with me. You can send an email or go to a comment on our website at Allegheny.gop, Allegheny.gop. But give me a policy that the left has actually put in place that actually improves the lives of all of us. What they do instead is say, well, we're going to send somebody a check. We're going to give you a check. We're going to give you a credit. We're going to take and get rid of your, we're going to supposedly cancel your student loan debt. There's no such thing as canceling it. You're shifting it from the backs of the people that have taken out these loans. And, you know, studies have shown that like 75% of them are graduate students, you know, who, you know, make $300,000 plus a year, right? We're doing for doctors, lawyers, engineers, you know, things like that.
They're taking the money from the plumbers.
Yes, and they're making...
They're taking the money from the convenience store worker. They're taking the money from the electrician.
Yes.
And they're giving
the waitress,
it to someone...
The bartender, you know, the service worker are being forced to pay,
right,
you know, for folks that went to college. And it does nothing to address the high cost of higher education. Again, it's just throwing good money after bad. And I'm sorry, Todd, you wanted to say something.
I know. So, and remember, I believe you're quoting the national average of gas.
Yes.
And I would be remiss in saying, if I didn't say that Pennsylvania generally almost always comes in above the national average of gas. And say I'm very fortunate. I have a little slice of heaven up in northwestern Pennsylvania, and I'm very close to the Ohio line. Sam, when I drive up there to my getaway, I cross the border and go to Ohio to get gas because it's generally 20 cents, 25 cents cheaper than gas in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And that's just in fuel costs. And you know, how that trickles down to everything else, the convenient, the worker at the gas station, the truck driver, you know, in northwest Pennsylvania, there's a family dollar at every, you know, acre. You know, the person that works at family dollar, that it's affecting all of that, the gas price. And I believe the president just released strategic oil for the Memorial Day holiday, I believe. Did I see that somewhere?
digging into the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to try to artificially keep prices down because it's an election year. But meanwhile, what he's doing is jeopardizing our national security because that reserve exists primarily to provide us a degree of safety should, you know, a war break out and our supplies be interrupted.
And that amount probably only attributes to a day's worth of gas that we use across the country.
No, absolutely. But again, what they're trying to do is they're trying to bribe people, you know, by handing out money instead of actually delivering on a better future for these folks. So, you know, that was really interesting what you pointed out, Russell, about how your wife says, hey, you know, I'm from the future because, you know, she's seen it if we don't change. And I'm very hopeful, you know, Winston Churchill used to say about Americans, is quoted as saying during World War II, that Americans can always be counted on to do the right thing after they've tried everything else. Okay. So, you know, I'm very hopeful that, hey, we're eventually going to get there, right? But folks, there's no time like the present. It's 2024. We need you to come out and vote this year and elect Donald Trump, President of the United States. Elect Dave McCormick is the next U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania. He's running against Bob Casey, who has been in office 18 years. Can any of our listeners name a single legislative accomplishment that Bob Casey's had? And I think even John Fetterman, who I adamantly opposed when he ran 2 years ago and who I couldn't disagree with on many things more, is showing by his coming out and taking stands on issues such as the border, which he believes immigration is a problem and that we need to secure the southern border. You know, when the population basically of Pittsburgh comes across every month, there's a problem. You know, he's taken the proper position, in my opinion, in regards to the state of Israel. Hamas started a war and attacked and murdered and raped and massacred, you know, over 1,000 Israeli citizens. You know, Fetterman has come out and taken a stand. Where's Casey on this? I mean, whether it's the protests on campus, I mean, there's just a whole range of things. The point being, somebody, the junior senator is showing some form of leadership, and the senior senator is still missing in action.
You know, as Sam, speaking of Casey, I was reading actually just something this morning about him. When Santorum ran against him in 2006, I believe it was.
Yes.
Casey said then, and this is very interesting, when two politicians are agreeing 98% of the time, one of them isn't necessary. So I find that very interesting today, because we know that Bob Casey has voted with Joe Biden 98% of the time.
Oh, more than 98%, yes.
Well, Sam, because we want to keep, we are from Pittsburgh and we're familiar with Pittsburgh politics, the question of where is Bob Casey? Bob Casey is standing next to Summer Lee. And keep in mind, we have a chance to send somebody to Washington who encompasses, rarely do you get that, with the entire city of Pittsburgh in James Hayes. And James is a phenomenally smart man and would be a fantastic representative of the city of Pittsburgh and in the surrounding communities all the way out to Westmoreland.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's our goal is the committee to make him competitive and win in November. I mean, this time last year, nobody knew who Joe Rocky was. And that's what, you know, I keep hearing is, well, nobody knows who James Hayes is. Nobody knew who Joe Rocky was this time last year. And cheap plug for the committee, but the city of Pittsburgh committee put out the first pro Joe Rocky commercial because somebody was able to capture the now county executive is saying that she wanted to turn this into a progressive laboratory for progressive experiments. And you can see what we have now.
Well, I mean, to your point there, you have to start somewhere. You know, you talked about no one knew who Joe was, no one knew James was, but you're absolutely right. And look, there is an opportunity. You know, I spent some time in Squirrel Hill, you know, helping celebrate, you know, the Independence Day for Israel. You know, Israel was founded, you know, and established on May 14th, 1948. And it was celebrated in Squirrel Hill last week with a parade, you know, march through Squirrel Hill and some events at the Jewish Community Center. And then there was a party celebration that evening. But I was talking to some folks, and I mean, they're excited about James Hayes because they're getting a second shot at Summer Lee. You know, and what happened here in the primary was a very low turnout primary. So only the true believers come out. And, you know, while part of that district encompasses part of Westmoreland County, that's the most heavily Republican part of that. If James were to find a way to be able to hold on to not just the voters he had and then pick up the ones that he'll get in Westmoreland County and attract the Democrats that opposed Summer Lee, he can win this race.
We were just talking about that before the show.
Mm-hmm.
because Donald Trump's at the top of the ticket, we're almost certain that James Hayes is going to get, you know, many, many more votes than our friend Mike Doyle got in his race against Summer Lee. That's one of the things that's helping us sort of forecast James's performance here going forward, just with a really, really strong top of the ticket, obviously, Donald Trump and Dave McCormick at the top of the ticket there. We are very confident that James is going to put a lot of votes behind his name. And with the trends that we are seeing in the city, with our moderate Democrats feeling like they don't have a home right now, you know, we're feeling very confident about James's chances in November.
And there's kind of a way to put a bow on all this, Sam, is that since Russell and I have taken the leadership of the city, we've had a sample size now to look at it. We had, even including the Gene Boker race for county council, that special election for, city council, we were able to also look at the data from Mike Doyle and now we have the data from Steve Zappala and Joe Rocky, we can sort of, we're able to put a trend together. And now we know where we're a little bit stronger, and we're not going to take those people for granted. And we know where places where we can win. I was looking at data just the other day of a location in Joe Rocky's old neighborhood where it was almost a dead even. Sarah won by 10 votes. And when I started looking through all the Republican data, this person didn't vote. This person didn't vote. This person didn't vote. Well, that's a district that we can win. And if we're tied without doing any work in a neighborhood, we should be able to win that overwhelmingly when we do work. And we've proven that. We mentioned Eileen earlier. Eileen had 60% turnout in her ward, and it's a very red ward. And she, when she ran for county council, she won 5 of 7 of those districts in that ward. Joe Rocky won 6 of 7 in that district. Anywhere where we have put a foot down and put our walking shoes on and got involved in a neighborhood, we have moved the needle. And I think you were looking for a term maybe earlier in the show about, you know, what we do, and that's what Russell and I refer to as move the needle. If we move the needle, we elect Dave McCormick, we elect Dave Sunday, we keep Tim DeFore and Stacey Garrity. We keep all those people with just a slight amount of work. And if we really roll our sleeves up, and that's what we're hoping to do, we can win some of these places overwhelmingly, and then let the rest of the state carry the statewide candidates.
Yeah, I mean, we had a little meeting at an event that Dave McCormick had, and he reminded us that 57 of the 67 counties are red. Okay, so if we can do our work in the city, and when I say do our work, we're just going to move the needle. We're not saying that we're going to win the city by 51% for James Hayes or for Dave McCormick. But if we move the needle enough in the city, that will guarantee that our rural brothers and sisters can carry the state. So that's the kind of work we're doing in the city. If anybody would want to, you know, there's the three M. There are the three M's in all this: members, messaging, and money. Selfless plug here. If anyone would want to, you know, contribute to our efforts, we'd love a $5 or $10 donation. If you went to Win Red and just searched Pittsburgh, we would come right up. City of Pittsburgh Republican Committee, and you can find us on Win Red. We would take $5 or $10 from anybody listening. That'll help us, you know, keep our street teams active. You know, on the weekends we go out knocking on doors. We have to have lunch, buy some pizza, and get back out there and interact with folks on their front porches. So that's really the kind of work we're doing in the city. We're really excited about it. Pittsburgh is a city, but it's really a big town. So, you know, we really feel strongly that if people want to come in and give us some help with our events, et cetera, we do have a big event coming up in July that we're really excited about. The Phillies are in town. Phillies are taking on the Pirates. July 20th, we're going to have a lot of fun. So if folks would want to be a part of that, we're going to have a big tailgate.
Well, and let me break in here because we only have 2 minutes left. Where do they go? Where do they go to find more information about that or to sign up for the event?
We have an Eventbrite. We have an Eventbrite event going right now on our Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook and search for City of Pittsburgh Republican Committee, you'll find us. There's an Eventbrite page there. You can get registered, and you can be part of this event. It's going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, the Phillies are a great team. People from Philadelphia will be traveling here to Pittsburgh Saturday, July 20th. The Pirates got a great pitcher now. He's bringing the heat. We're really looking forward to it.
And we've been in contact with some of the committees out east, and we're hoping that they come and join us. And we're have a good time as under a baseball game banner.
Okay. Well, folks, listen, it has been a pleasure to have you guys on the show. I think it's important our listeners get to learn a little bit more of what's happening in the city of Pittsburgh. Hopefully we've shared some things with them. And, well, we were only able to talk about a few candidates there. I mean, we have a great slate of candidates, you know, both the statewide row offices, you know, with Stacey Garrity for treasurer, Tim DeFore, auditor general, Dave Sunday, you know, for attorney general. I think Dave's a phenomenal candidate, okay? And as you learn more about their opponents, folks, you're going to be flabbergasted that these people are even on the ballot. We have State Senator Devlin Robinson here running, along with Natalie Mihalik, Valerie Gatiss, Jason Ortizai,
Matt Carruth,
Andrew Kuzma, Matt Carruth, Nathan Wolf, Jennifer Dentini running for State Senate in the 45th.
She's going to be a fabulous senator.
Yeah. So, folks, you can learn all about our candidates by going to Allegheny.gop, Allegheny.gop. And until next week, as always, we run out of time here when I start running the gums. Until next week, this is Sam DeMarco signing off from the Elephant in the Room on WJAS 1320 AM, 99.1 FM Talk. Please have a meaningful Memorial Day weekend.